You're listening to RSJ Radio.
I'm Maria Figueredo.
And I'm Trevor Hewitt. And
this is
Are You Listening?
In today's news, Canada's recession has come to an end.
Canada prepares to open its doors to Syrian refugees in the coming year.
And the Liberals win big in Newfoundland.
But first,
world leaders are meeting in Paris for the UN COP21 conference in order to find a solution that will slow down global climate change. President Obama spoke at the conference about the United States' role as a leader in reducing carbon emissions. Mitch Bomil has the story.
Never have the stakes been so high in finding a solution to slowing down climate change. French President François Hollande echoed these words during his speech at the COP21 climate change summit. Hollande and over 150 other world leaders are in Paris for the summit. The overall mission is to come up with a unified, legally binding restrictions on greenhouse gas emissions to hold global average temperatures short of a 2 degrees Celsius increase since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. American President Barack Obama spoke at the conference.
Personally, as the leader of the world's largest economy and the second largest emitter, to say that the United States of America not only recognizes our role in creating this problem, we embrace our responsibility to do something about it.
The United States is the second highest emitter of greenhouse gases behind only China. With such an important role, Obama is dedicated to finding a solution.
Number one, that it is an ambitious target that seeks low-carbon global economy over the course of this century.
The COP21 Paris conference runs until December 11th. By then, world leaders are hoping to have a solution to the world climate crisis. For Are You Listening? I'm Mitch Beaumile.
Today, Mayor John Tory is headed to Paris to attend the climate conference. Before he left, Tory said that public transit is key to fighting climate change on a city level. He said that he believed the best way for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Premier Kathleen Wynne to honor their commitment to fight climate change is to fund Toronto's initiatives for tackling environmental issues. Catherine Machado has more.
Mark Beckering is the manager responsible for strategic policy initiatives for the Environment and Energy Division in City Hall. Beckering says that cities play a significant role because 80% of the population live in an urban area and a lot of the emissions are tied to how we live, work, travel, and consume. He says that Toronto has been a leader in the fight against climate change and must be recognized as a critical partner.
Our goals around sort of being part of the Paris climate change talks is just to help other orders of government recognize the role that cities can play and are playing and recognize us as that valued partner so that we can collectively achieve the larger international goals.
Transform TO is an initiative that was launched earlier this year to fast-track the progress in light of the summit.
A big part of Transform TO over the 2 years it'll be is to build understanding and support within the community for achieving those goals, and that I think is probably more important as opposed to setting a binding target, but rather developing that commitment across all sectors of our society towards that goal.
Beckering notes that this initiative is being revamped in order to address the environmental concerns that the summit is raising.
We're hiring a consultant who will be starting in February, and part of their work will be to model the low-carbon future, but also model the implications for the local economy and so on.
The Climate Summit for Local Leaders is being held this Friday in Paris to profile and recognize cities taking action against environmental issues. This event will build on the efforts of the Compact of Mayors, a global coalition of cities pledging to reduce local greenhouse gas emissions, enhance resilience to climate change, and track their progress transparently. Tory will be there representing Toronto. The summit will come to a close on December 11th. For Are You Listening, I'm Catherine Machado.
Canada's latest recession is officially over, but don't celebrate yet. The country's GDP increased by 2.3% in its third quarter, Statistics Canada announced today. The figure ends the mild recession that came after two quarters of negative growth. Experts attribute growth to an increase in exports and household sales. But the report showed warning signs that the economic rebound is weak. GDP contracted slightly in September after 3 months of continuous growth. Economists always say Canada's weak resource industry means it's just a matter of time before growth stalls. Oil prices are currently nearing record low worldwide.
25,000 Syrian refugees will be arriving in Canada by the end of February. In Ottawa today, Governor General David Johnston said a warm welcome should be given to them. Johnston called this a defining moment for Canada, and all leaders should rise to the challenge of resettling all the newcomers.
All of you participating in this forum today understand that welcoming Syrian refugees is both a challenge and an opportunity for Canada. And you know this too. Great nations are built on great challenges.
He said Canada's greatest strength lies in its multicultural society, so it's important for Canada to succeed in integrating the refugees. He believes it is the right thing to do. Johnston spoke at a forum that included panel discussions on mobilizing both public and private sectors, as well as the Canadian communities on the refugee issue.
The Liberals' winning streak continues. The Liberals won a majority government last night in Newfoundland and Labrador. Dwight Bell led the party to victory. He told supporters to expect good things.
That's the kind of work ethic that you can expect from me in the next 4 years. We'll just continue on doing what we've always done.
Bell was elected with 77% of the vote. The Liberals nearly swept the elections, winning 31 out of 40 seats. The Tories, who have been in power for 12 years in the province, won only 7 seats. The NDP managed to win only 2 seats in the House of Assembly.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will use taxpayer money to pay the wages of his children's 2 nannies. The Liberal cabinet approved the hires last week as special assistants to the Prime Minister's residence. They will be paid up to $20 an hour during the day. The discovery is a controversial one. During the recent election campaign, Trudeau repeatedly attacked the Conservatives for their universal child care benefits. He said rich families like his and Stephen Harper's don't need the taxpayers' help.
And the reason we can give bigger checks is because we're doing less for the families who don't need it. Those people who are making over $150,000, people making over $200,000 family income.
Trudeau is entitled to $3,400 worth of childcare benefits for his 3 children, money he promises to give to charity.
Students, professors, and even city councillors are relying together to take action on Ryerson campus. Joseph Wong has the story on today's Take Back the Campus rally.
It also means the administration of Ryerson has got to show leadership. They cannot hide from this problem. I'm not saying that they are, but they have to really elevate their voices when it comes to addressing safety and security on campus. That is non-negotiable.
That was City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam speaking at the Take Back the Campus rally at Ryerson University. The rally was organized by the Ryerson Feminist Collective and the Ryerson Student Union to address the hate, discrimination, and marginalization that is present on campus. Allison Rogers is a fourth-year social work student and co-organizer of the Ryerson Feminist Collective. She says that this rally is a response to the incidents on campus.
So some of the incidents that have evoked this rally have been Muslim women who wear the hijab have been harassed on campus and across Toronto. We've seen a lot of the Muslim Student Association posters being vandalized, taken down. There were incidents of anti-Semitic graffiti in bathrooms. For the Ryerson Feminist Collective, our page was entirely made up of trolls 2 weeks ago because we were put up on a Reddit page.
It's not just the incidents that concerned the people on campus. Students like Pascal DeVerlis, who is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Toronto Coalition and vice president of United Black Students at Ryerson, says there's a lack of support at Ryerson.
And for many of us, we have no support. We don't trust administration because they haven't helped us in the past. We don't trust security because they haven't helped us in the past. We don't trust our students' union because they haven't helped us in the past. So where does that leave us? What does safety look like for me, for people who look like me, for Indigenous students, for trans students, for all students on this campus? How are we actually ensuring safety for them?
According to the speakers at the rally, there is a lot of systemic and active racism that is on Ryerson campus. Rogers says the rally was an effort to address a long-standing problem.
There's just been a lot going on, and these things aren't just specific to this semester. There has been a buildup. They have been happening all along, and it's time to talk about it, and it's time to address it and make some change.
For Are You Listening? I'm Joseph Wong.
Constable James Fursillo says he was left with no choice but to shoot Sami Yateem. Fursillo was testifying today at his murder trial. He said that if he had done nothing, Yateem would have stabbed him, and if Fursillo had to grab his taser, Yateem would have run off the streetcar. During the cross-examination, Fursillo disagreed with the Crown's statement that he lost his cool when dealing with Yateem. Fursillo's lawyer said his actions were justified and in self-defense. Fursillo has pleaded not guilty to second-degree and attempted murder.
Meanwhile, south of the border, Chicago's Mayor Rahm Emanuel has fired the city's police chief. This follows citywide protests that called to dismiss the chief. Just a week earlier, a judge ordered the release of a year-old dashcam video. It showed a Chicago police officer shooting a teenager 16 times. The officer, Jason Van Dyke, was charged with first-degree murder for the shooting. He was released yesterday after paying $150,000 in bail.
Dennis Oland took the stand this morning and testified he did not kill his father. Oland is charged with second-degree murder of his multi-millionaire father. Oland was the last person to have seen his father alive the day before his body was found. Police found a blood-stained jacket in Oland's closet a week after the death. The blood was matched completely, a chance of 1 in 500 billion, forensic specialists testified. The remaining family members are also set to testify. The trial will wrap up December 18th.
Toronto police announced a seizure of approximately $12 million in counterfeit goods in a press conference this morning. The project, which is called Partners Against Counterfeit Everywhere, is a joint investigation between Toronto law enforcement agencies, private agencies, and intellectual property rights owners. A number of products were displayed during the press conference, including purses and sunglasses from high-end luxury brands. Lauren Lipkus, a lawyer and a partner of the Toronto Police, said the purchase of any fake product is, in fact, funding illegal activities in other countries.
People that are buying a purse or buying a luxury good or buying a counterfeit Beats product, anyone who's doing that, you're supporting people who like to keep young children out of school and underage laborers in factories in other countries. You are supporting slave labor. You are supporting people who don't believe in our values.
He says all of us should be vigilant towards the counterfeit business.
Well, Toronto commuters are going to have to scrape out their pockets in 2016. Starting February 1st, GO Transit riders will have to pay 40 to 60 cents more for fare. The fare hike is only going to apply to longer rides on GO trains. But some people in Toronto are going to be collecting more change in their pockets. Fares for the Union Piercing Express are going to drop slightly. Adults' return fare is going to be $44 instead of the current $53. And children under 12 can now ride the express for free.
Here's some news that Canadians who remember last year's harsh winter can warm up to. The Weather Network announced this morning that Western and Northern Canada will likely experience a warmer winter than usual. However, Central and Eastern Canada is a different story. The Weather Network predicts a shorter but significant period of winter weather from Ontario to the East Coast. Canadians can also expect less snow and more rain, particularly in the West. The mild winter could be bad news for farmers, who rely on snow to add moisture to the ground.
Today is World AIDS Day, and the United Nations is aiming to end the AIDS epidemic by 2030. In order to reach that goal, Canada must double its resources and have more people tested for HIV. In Canada, there are about 70,000 people who are HIV positive, and 25% of them are not aware of it. In an interview with CTV News, Dr. Adrienne Chen, an expert on Canada's HIV and AIDS, said that injection users, Aboriginals, and the homeless are disproportionately affected. There are about 37 million people HIV positive worldwide.
The AirAsia crash that happened last year was actually caused by a technical issue, not bad weather. The plane crashed only an hour into the flight, killing all 162 people on board. An alarm went off in the cockpit four separate times. It was a warning that there was an issue with the computer system that controls the rudder. The pilots were unable to keep control of the plane after this, which caused the crash.
Open up your wallets, folks, because today is the third annual Giving Tuesday. Alexandria Pankratz has more.
On Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you plan to get good deals. And on Giving Tuesday, plan to give. What started as a simple idea is now a global movement. The Tuesday after Thanksgiving, right after Black Friday and Cyber Monday, people everywhere are invited to be part of the giving chain, where giving to a cause you care about can inspire millions of others to give as well.
Giving Tuesday falls every year on December 1st, in an effort to promote giving back. In a sense, it is Black Friday for charities because you get to choose which one you would like to donate to. Daniel Benin donated this year instead of Black Friday shopping and thinks it is a step in the right direction.
I think that's great because it gives autonomy to people and they can choose whichever organization they believe will help the most. And it's great that there's organizations such as PayPal and other ones that'll match your donations and increase them to support you in making those decisions.
This year, more than 4,500 charities, businesses, and hundreds of thousands of Canadians from coast to coast will join together. You can get involved by donating, volunteering for a local charity, or spreading the word through social media using the hashtag GivingTuesday. Like Will Ferrell famously said in the movie Elf, what better way to spread Christmas cheer than singing loud for all to hear? I'm Alexandria Pankratz. Are you listening?
A great-grandfather from North York has hit it big on the 649 Lotto. Winston Parks was handed the check yesterday for the over $24 million jackpot. Parks said he intends to share it with all his family.
Recapping today's top stories, world leaders meet in Paris for the United Nations Conference on Climate Change.
Canada's recession is officially over.
And the Liberals win big in Newfoundland.
Now on to current affairs.
Here's what's going on in current affairs. Wind Mobile will offer free phones and service to Syrian refugees.
A rookie goalie makes Maple Leafs history.
And Pope Francis is ready to rock.
This week in sports, the Toronto Maple Leafs let a rookie take the net. Hockey Canada announces its roster for the Men's World Junior Hockey Championship. Two NBA teams are making history in very different ways. And a veteran Canadian golfer announces he is ready to return to the sport he loves. Here's Joshua Primsky with more.
The Leafs made a big move last night when they let a rookie take the net. Here's Bailey Vickers with more.
After a three-game losing streak, the Leafs are trying something different. Last night, the team pulled off a much-needed 3-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. And who can we credit the win to? Garrett Sparks. The goalie made his NHL debut after a long journey from the ECHL, two rungs below the NHL. He was the first Leaf goalie to have a shutout in his debut. But Toronto Star sports reporter Sean Fitzgerald thinks it's too early to get too excited.
I think what last night was just a sort of a one-off, a one-night treat for Toronto Maple Leafs fans who are going to be in for a very long season.
But Fitzgerald is looking at the bigger picture.
The broader picture has to be so dominant right now around the Toronto Maple Leafs that it almost doesn't matter what happens game to game because the play is, you know, in geological terms. It's not game to game, week to week, month to month. It's year to year now that they have to do things now that will benefit them two and three seasons down the road.
Sparks could be a crucial member of the team, but it is hard to tell with only one game under his belt.
It's certainly a good start. And, you know, there have been flashes in the minor leagues that he has talent, that he's been pretty well regarded on his way up. What this means in terms of the Toronto Maple Leafs and their very slow, very methodical march back up to the realm of relevance in the National Hockey League.
He says the win is a nice treat for fans, but won't change the team's likelihood of winning the Stanley Cup.
The only way the Toronto Maple Leafs will see the Stanley Cup in the next two seasons is to pay admission to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and go into the Great Hall itself.
But for Sparks, 24 saves were just steps to an unforgettable victory. I'm Bailey Vickers. Are you listening?
Hockey Canada announced its roster for Canada Selection Camp for the Men's World Junior Hockey Championship. The 30-man roster includes two NHL draft picks and three returning players from Canada's gold medal-winning team in 2015. The selection camp begins December 10, just 2 weeks before Canada's first game against the United States on Boxing Day. The Golden State Warriors won their 19th straight game last night as they topped the Utah Jazz 106-103. The Warriors already broke the record for most wins to start an NBA season when they won their 15th game against the Denver Nuggets. The Warriors are making history, but another team is doing the same thing for all of the wrong reasons. The Philadelphia 76ers have tied the worst record to start an NBA season after losing to the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday. They've won 0 of their last 18 games and play the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. Canadian golfer Mike Weir will play his first tournament since early July when he withdrew from the John Deere Classic and announced he would be taking a break from golf. Weir's daughters motivated him to return. Weir was once the third best golfer in the world, but dropped to 620th late last year. The 45-year-old Weir was divorced last December and has dealt with a plethora of injuries in recent years. I'm Joshua Priemski with Are You Listening?
Thanks to a new campaign, one phone company is helping Syrian refugees stay connected while they transition into Canada. Anna Kay Evans has more on the story.
Wind Mobile is offering free mobile phones and wireless service to Syrian refugees. The Canadian wireless service provider says that they will team up with Lifeline Syria, a nonprofit organization dedicated to help sponsor and assist refugees coming to Canada. The other company involved is called Hyla, a Texas-based business aimed at expanding the life cycle of mobile devices. The trio launched the campaign to assist Syrian refugees transition into their new life in Canada. Wind's website says Syrian refugee families arriving in the Greater Toronto Area over the course of the next 2 years will be eligible to receive mobile phone and a 2-year contract with Wind service free of charge. Yesterday, Ontario announced that it plans to take approximately 4,000 out of the 10,000 Syrian refugees by the end of the year. And thousands more are expected to come next year under the federal government's refugee plan. I'm Anna Kay Evans for Are You Listening?
And now on to entertainment, arts and entertainment news. The Gotham Awards shines the spotlight on Oscar hopefuls. Adele and Drake are still at the top of the charts. And the Pope has released an album. Olivia Ciarello has more.
A film based on a true story took home 3 awards last night at the Gotham Independent Film Awards. Aliana Lada has the story.
Last night, Tom McCarthy's Spotlight won Best Feature at the Gotham Independent Film Awards. The film was additionally named Best Screenplay, and the cast, including Canadian Rachel McAdams, took home Best Ensemble as well. The drama follows the Boston Globe's Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting on sex abuse by Catholic priests.
When you're a poor kid from a poor family, and when a priest pays attention to you, it's a big deal. How do you say no to God?
The Gotham's top film last year later won Best Picture at the Academy Awards, and Spotlight currently has an 8.6 rating on IMDb. For Are You Listening, I'm Aliana Latta.
The controversial nude painting of former Prime Minister Stephen Harper has been sold to a Vancouver man for $20,000. The painting shows Harper reclining on a sofa with a dog at his feet and a Tim Hortons coffee being offered to him. Frederick Garamani will be taking the painting home and says that he is excited to show it off to as many people as possible.
Wake up. Wake up.
Pope Francis has released a rock album. He has lent his voice to an album titled Wake Up that features spoken word and spiritual rock songs. Excerpts from the Pope's speeches, homilies, and prayers have been mixed and reworked by several composers. The album will include the Pope speaking in English, Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese, with a booklet providing translation. Wake Up is available on iTunes, and some of the proceeds will be going towards a charity supporting refugees. You used to call me on my cell phone. Day night when you need. Spotify has announced its end-of-the-year list, and Drake has earned over 1.8 billion streams in 2015. This makes him the most streamed artist on the website, ahead of artists like Rihanna and The Weeknd. And Adele is staying right on top with her album 25. The album sold 3.38 million copies in its debut week, making it the only album to ever sell more than 3 million in 1 week. And we have some good news for you Beliebers out there. Justin Bieber has just announced an acoustic concert at the Danforth Music Hall on Monday, December 7th. The proceeds will go toward the Stratford House of Blessing, a food bank in JB's hometown. Tickets go on sale this afternoon at 4 p.m. That's all for Arts and Entertainment. I'm Olivia Ciarello for Are You Listening?
And that's it for today's show. I'm Trevor Hewitt.
And I'm Maria Figueredo from all of us at Are You Listening?
Have a wonderful winter break.